Okay, if you would turn to Genesis chapter 12, that's about where we got to last week. We've been through recently in chapter 11, the descendants of Shem, the godly line, the line through which Christ comes. And we talked about those individuals in this list, compared it with other lists. Talked about, remember our charts that I handed out months and months ago, and we're still looking at that, as far as individuals in the line of Christ, their lifespan, the dates to which they were alive, how long they lived, and even some interesting facts like Shem, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber, several generations after the flood, were still alive when Terah, Abram's father, was still alive. Even some, even into Abraham. I'm going to say that over and over again. You know what I'm talking about. Abram, who will become Abraham. Even during Abram's lifetime, there were individuals one or two generations from the flood that were still around. So, and again, we don't know that they lived next door to each other. They might not have exchanged conversations on a daily basis, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't have talked to one another. It'd be like you being able to talk to five generations, six generations before, and saying, hey, what was it like in the 1902 or 1800s? It'd be interesting to talk to, especially family members that lived hundreds of years ago. We don't have that privilege now, but that opportunity was at least there. So we took a look at that and their lifespans. We come to the end of chapter 11. We read this and talked about it a little bit last week. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, which is Abram's nephew. Remember, we talked about that. the son of Haran, his son's son, so Terah's grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, Abram's wife. And they went forth and from Ur of the Chaldees, remember that's where they lived, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah, Abram's father, were 205 years, and Terah died there in Haran. That's what we had covered last week. As we get into chapter 12, we see what takes place in chapter 12. You probably have a little subtitle under chapter 12. What's it say? Pardon me? Promises to Abram, or the call of Abram is what mine says. Here we see God say to Abram, get up and get moving. So we look at that and we say, well, here, God called Abram, and we know that Abram obeyed. We'll get to that in a second. But it's interesting to see, if you look other places in Scripture, did you realize that this is not actually the first time that God said to Abram, get up and move? It's the first time we see in Genesis. Jump into the New Testament to Acts chapter 7. We want to take a look at something that Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. Now, this is in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what's it say here? Chapter 7. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he answered, Stephen answered and said, men, brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Okay, that's who we're talking about, Abraham, or Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham. What's it say? The God of glory, appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Wait a minute. In Genesis, it says, while he was in Haran, chapter 11, they moved to Haran, right? And then chapter 12, it says, and God called Abraham, and we haven't gotten into that yet, but we'll see what God tells Abram in chapter 12. It says here that he called him before he dwelt in Haran. Before he moved up there, God had said to Abraham, what? The next verse, it says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show you. Then came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence when his father was dead, he removed him unto his land wherein you now dwelt. So Stephen is talking about things that have taken place in the past. It says that God called Abraham or Abram before he dwelt in Haran. Interesting, isn't it? Now, does that mean that what's in Genesis is not true? No. It means that we have a little more information about what took place. It would seem to indicate here that God said to Abram, before he had moved to Haran with his father, you need to move. You need to get out of this land to a place that I will show you. Again, not knowing where he was headed. It's interesting in verse 31 of chapter 11 that it says, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his grandson, and Abram's wife. And it's interesting, it says, and Terah took them. It sounds like Terah was in charge, Abram's father, and said, okay, we're going to move the family, at least you, we're going to move and go to Haran. I don't know the exact circumstances why it says, and Terah took them, like Terah was instigating this move. There are people who have all sorts of ideas. Some say that Terah was given instructions from God to move, and therefore Terah took them that far, and Terah decided he was going to stop in Haran. Others say Abram was given the call and Terah took them. We don't have the little details about why, but we know that according to Acts that God said to Abraham while he still lived in Ur before he moved to Haran with his father, get out of this country, get away from your relatives. But it would seem to be, and then we know that they moved. Here's another interesting thing. Verse 31. What else did it say? Took Abraham and Lot and Abram's wife, and they went forth from them, from Ur of Chaldees, to go to the land of Canaan, which means that's where they were headed, right? And they stopped over in Haran. So that would seem to verify the fact that they were supposed to be going farther than where they wound up. If they were headed to Canaan, of course, maybe they didn't know they were headed to Canaan. They just knew that God was sending them somewhere. But they came to Haran and dwelt there. Apparently dwelt there for a period of time. Dwelt there long enough for Abram's father to pass away. So it would seem to indicate that God had said to Abram, get up and move to a place that I'm going to tell you. They got as far as Haran, plopped down there, stayed for an extended period of time, and long enough for Abram's father to pass away. And then we get to, chapter 12, where God says to Abram, sounds like this is the second time God has told Abram to get up and move. He says, chapter 12, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That's kind of like what Stephen said, right? Get up, get out of the land, except for what Stephen said. Let me back up so I get it right. Stephen said, God told Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. What does our account in Genesis add? It says, and from your father's house. That's interesting as well. Terah is in the line of Christ, a godly line of individuals. It's interesting. And again, as you look in Scripture, you find some more information. Turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And we get another glimpse of maybe what was going on here. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, Joshua had gathered, verse 1, I'm sorry, gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem to call for the leaders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all these people, Joshua says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah. Oh, there's a name we recognize, Terah, Abram's father. Oh, by the way, the other side of the flood here, this word flood actually means river, probably referring to the Nile or Euphrates River. They lived on, that we're not talking about prior to the flood. This is a different word. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood or river. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, which was Abraham's brother, they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood or river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And then he goes on to talk about more of the history that had taken place with Abram, the father of the nation of Israel. Interesting, this says, Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Your forefathers, even Terah, served other gods. It's interesting. Possibly in that stay in Haran, which was an ungodly city, it's possible, according to this, that Terah had even gotten involved with worshiping other gods. Maybe that's why our account in Genesis adds that statement, get out of your father's house as well. Not just out of your country, not away from your distant relatives who are ungodly, but even away from your father's house, because he has slipped into this false worship of other gods. So, a little bit of background we get as we, excuse me, get into chapter 12. So, as God talks to Abram, the first thing he shares with him is the difficulties that he's going to have to deal with. These are the difficulties you're going to have to, that I want you to deal with, you're going to have to deal with if you're going to follow me. And what's he tell him? Again, out of your country, so you have to move to a different country where your relatives are not at, and from your kindred and from your father's house. So you got to pick up and move unto a place that I will show you. Again, he doesn't tell Abram where he's going. He just says, I will show you, I will lead you to this place that I want you to go. Excuse me. And then he shares this promise with Abram. And we call this the Abrahamic covenant, because God makes a covenant or a promise to Abram. And what does he say? Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Interesting here. We just, a couple weeks ago, talked about the Tower of Babel, right? And what did those individuals, what were they looking for? Right here, right? They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to be in charge. What does God say to Abraham? To Abram, he says, I'm going to make you, out of you, I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I will bless you. So God says this to Abram. He said, it's kind of interesting here. He tells him the things that he wants him to do. Move out of the country, move away from his father's, move to a new land. And he says, and I will make you. So Abram needed to do something here. But God says, I will make you a great nation. So God makes this covenant, this promise with Abram, that I will do these things. Keep that in mind as we talk about the life of Abram as we continue on. Keep that in mind, what God has promised to Abram. It also says, and thou shalt be a blessing. This could also be rendered in order that you will be a blessing. In verse 3, he continues, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. What's that sound like to you? Sound like God saying to Abram, I got your back. I'm watching out for you because those that bless you, those that treat you well, I will bless them. And those people that are against you, guess what? I'm against them. How would you like that for a backup? Hey, I don't have to worry about anything because God's looking out for me. God says this to Abraham, God says this to Abram. I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow, what a promise God gives to Abram. Of course, the next verse, which we're going to get to in a second, it says, And so Abram departed. In other words, what did he do this time? He did what he was supposed to. He got up and left and continued on. We'll see that as we get there. Interesting here, as we look at this promise that God made to Abram, and Abram's obedience. As we look at this, doesn't God kind of tell us the same thing? Right? To those, all things work together to good to those who are called according to his purpose. So, right? Is that us? Hopefully so. Which means what? All circumstances that we go through, God has a purpose, right? And therefore what? Our good. So we look at this promise that God has given to Abram, we say, wow, that'd be great to have that. Guess what? We do. God says there's going to be difficulties in this task that I want you to do, and you don't know where I'm going to lead you, but I promise that I will be with you. Kind of sounds like the Christian life, doesn't it? Anybody here, God gave you a roadmap when you accepted Christ and said, this is what's going to happen, when, and you can count on this, right? Nobody? You didn't get one? You got one?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. And Abram knew, right? God says, into a land that I will lead you, I will make you a great nation. This is what I'm going to accomplish through you. From here to there, he had no information. From here to when we're no longer here, we don't have all the details of what God's going to lead us through, do we? We don't know what circumstances we're going to have to deal with, what things we're going to have to come across, what situations God's going to bring us into and bring us through. But God says, I am with you, just like he says to Abram. Kind of interesting how a lot of Old Testament things apply to us as well. Not directly, obviously he was talking to Abram. But God's given us that same promise. He will be with us no matter what happens. So it says, verse 4, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. So remember, Lot is Abram's nephew, and Lot possibly went with Abram. Maybe Abram had somewhat adopted Lot because Lot's father had passed away, remember? So Lot went with him, and excuse me, and Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and their substance or their belongings, and they gathered, or that they had gathered, so everything that he owned, he took with him, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into, again, it says the land of Canaan. We know where he was headed, but he doesn't. And into the land of Canaan they came. So they started that journey that God had sent them on. Sometimes we look at this and we say, okay, Abram and Lot and Sarai, his wife, they took off on this journey. Did you get the rest of what he said? He brought all of his possessions, which we understand that he wasn't a poor individual. He might not have been extremely wealthy, but he was well-to-do. So he had flocks and sheep and individuals to care for them, other individuals, he said, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. So while they had lived in Haran and God had blessed them, those servants that carried went with them, all those individuals. So this wasn't, don't think of it as three people packed up their stuff in their little Volkswagen and headed to somewhere they didn't know. This was a whole like caravan of individuals that took off. Not that that makes it necessarily any easier, but understand the circumstances that take place here. So Abram packs up all his stuff and everybody follows him. Do you think anybody said to Abram, hey, you know, I know we're just your servants, we take care of your flocks, but hey man, where are we headed? I don't know. We're taking off on a road trip and I don't know where we're going to wind up. But God said, he will lead me there. Even the individuals that followed along had to somewhat trust in God's promise, or at least have the respect of Abraham and his belief that God would lead them to a promised land that he was going to give to them. God's, I go to Bonnie and say, God's going to lead us to some land. I don't know where it is, but he said, get up and move. So pack your stuff. We're going. She's either got to trust me or she's going to say, see ya. I'm not packing up and going someplace where you're not telling me. I want to know where I'm headed. But these individuals followed him and went with him. So he took all these people and headed to the land of Canaan. It says, and Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem or Shechem, we know that name from later on, into the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So if you look at a map, Haran is way north in the general promised land area, the land of Israel, is way north. So he was headed south and headed down south. Shechem's about in the middle area. So he winds up about in the middle of the land of Canaan, and he stops there for a minute. It says, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, wait a minute. The Lord appeared unto Abram. Have we heard that yet in the book of Genesis? No. We've heard the Lord told, the Lord said, but not the Lord has appeared. Now, it doesn't mean that. It says that God appeared to Adam, you know, in the garden. God came and visited Adam, but we haven't heard this term. Again, remember, Genesis is the book of firsts, right? Things happen first in the book of Genesis. Of course, they have to happen first because they never happened before, right? So we have that. But this is the first time that we see God appearing to Abram. He appears to Abraham, and he says to Abram, unto thy seed I will give this land. In other words, what's he telling Abram here? I'm going to give you what? This land, where you're at right now. So he's basically saying to Abram, you traveled here, and this is the land that I'm going to give you. Unto thy seed I will give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. What was Abram's response? He built an altar. Built an altar means basically he stopped, took time to worship God. Probably, thank you, Lord, for bringing me here to this place that you said you were going to bring me to. I didn't know where it was, but we're here. I'm thankful for that. For the safe journey as we got here, I'm thank you for bringing me to this place. And for what you've promised to accomplish through me. We do that sometimes, right? We pass through a trial. God desires us to do something. We follow that desire, and we come to that place where we say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through that. To begin with, I didn't know how I was going to make it through that, but I'm here, and I'm here because of you. And that's basically what Abram says. I'm stopping, I'm building an altar here. Keep in mind where the altar is. We'll talk about that later. And he removed from thence, so he moved from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. So he moved from Shechem, where he built this altar, down to Bethel, a little farther south, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he did what? He built an altar again and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram stops, builds an altar to worship God, and calls upon God. It doesn't tell us specifically what he said. What do you think he said? Okay, God. I think that's what he said. I'm here. Is this where I stop? If I'm staying here, what's next? What do I do? How are you leading me? We see Abraham looking to God for direction. Okay, we've made it this far. What do I do? And it said, Abram journeyed, going still forward, or is still going. And Abram journeyed. If I just read it instead of trying. And Abram journeyed, going on still forward, or still toward the south. So he continues south. Basically, he's traveled the entire length of the promised land. we're going to stop here before we get into the next step, what goes on once he's there. We see Abraham following the direction that God has told him to do. At this point, God has told him, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to provide this land. By the way, how much of that land did Abram own at the time? This much. Not that much. I don't mean that much land. I mean zero. Sometimes God tells us things and we need to travel in faith, not knowing where or necessarily when. Abram didn't know exactly when all this was going to take place, yet he followed in faith. That's why he's listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews, those individuals who followed in faith. A good challenge for us when God desires for us to do something, to just obey and follow. And yeah, we don't know. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know when God's going to call us home. We don't know what's going to take place. The world's in turmoil. Do I know what's going to happen? No, I don't. But I know what God has given us to do as our job, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, you're dismissed this morning. Hopefully this has been a blessing to you.